Falcons coming off another win over an NFC South opponent. This, by the way, their third victory in a row.
Ding.
Against the Panthers, 38-20.
Is that good?
I'd say so.
Is that good? Three wins in a row, 3-0 in the division, 4-2 overall.
First place Falcons. Is that what you meant to say? First place Atlanta Falcons.
Is that good?
I don't know. Did we break it? High score. Did we break it? How about this? And it kind of pops up yesterday on the socials. How about back to back weeks with 30 points? Back-to-back weeks with 30 points.
Oh,
what's
boy.
Going on here, man?
Yeah, but Mike, it wasn't a wire-to-wire victory, whatever that means. So there's nothing to celebrate.
Don't you come at me with that, man. It's a big win.
There's so much ignorance when I look at times. I get so frustrated because I believe in enjoying the moments. And yesterday was a moment. The last 3 weeks have been a moment. And if you're getting caught up in some long-term picture or how it looks. First off, it's the NFL. It's not college football. No such thing as style points. Nobody gives a damn. The only thing that matters at the end of the day is if you won. But it was the first win you've had all year where you won going away. You took complete control of the game at one point and never looked back, even though that they clawed to stay close. You led pretty much from the moment you made it 13-10. Before the two-point conversion, you never relinquished the lead.
No.
It never even got close to it. And that is what you're supposed to do with what is considered a lesser team than you.
Yeah. I think that yesterday, too, kind of highlighted the fact that there's such a need for two backs when you talk about Bijan and Tyler Algier. And they did go over the 200-yard mark. And what stinks about that is when you look at Kirk Cousins, him kneeling on the ball, you lose the 5 yards at the end, so you don't get the 200-yard mark rushing in the record books. And as you know, our coach would say, stats are for losers when you look at the 200-yard mark. But you look at Chuba Hubbard, he's having success, right? They're running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. But you can't just run Chuba 11 times in a drive, right? Eventually, you have to do something with Andy Dalton. And when they did, our defense pounced on it, and shout out to A.J. Terrell for getting his hands on the ball for the first time in a very, very long time and making sure that team that thing turned back the other direction, and then the two-headed monster in the backfield for us continues to take over. They did have success on the ground, but like I said, with one back, and you're not running, I think Miles Sanders, what, one carry from every 3 yards? You're just not doing much with just one guy running the pill for
1 yard. In fact, if you take away this – what should have been Lorenzo Carter's sack, which we'll get to that later in the week about the pass rush issues that continue. But when you take away that, they have under 100 yards rushing. That was an 18-yard carry by Andy Dalton scramble. It also led to the scoring drive into the end of the first half, but it's what put them over the 100-yard mark.
Yeah.
You made some improvements in some areas and you also took the ball away a couple of times, and you forced two more fumbles, Steph.
And you know Kirk Cousins likes all of that. He talked to Dave Archer of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network in their postgame interview, which is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Interesting performance today in that got the ground game cranked up. I mean, that's got to feel good about you guys can throw it and run it.
I think so, Arch. I think Tyler Algier ran really well. Bijan ran really well. I thought our receivers blocked well. I thought it was a good mix of runs, getting the outside zone game going, inside zone game going. Threw when we had to, avoided sacks. Had the one turnover that could have been avoided, but other than that, protected the football. Had a couple tight throws, but all in all, it was a good day at the office. Great to win, and we played complimentary football, and got to keep building on it.
What's this do from a dividend standpoint as you look forward with the ground game and the physicality? I know it lights up the offensive line to be able to come off the ball and shorten people's necks.
Yeah, I just think on the road and in the playoffs and in those tough environments, to be able to run the football and kind of impose your will, it makes a big difference. And credit Zach for kind of sticking to the run game, being patient with it. I just felt like it was a great answer today, and we were able to kind of ride it to success.
How much did they switch it up on you? It looked like there was a lot of blitz looks off the edge. I looked a little bit of tape, but not as much as you did. Yeah. Did they stay pretty consistent?
Yeah, I think they they gave us a couple tough looks. They were going to mix in a pressure here and there. They did a good job disguising coverages for the most part. And, they kind of kept a good roof on everything. We tried to get behind them. They weren't really letting us. And, kind of credit them for the lack of explosives.
I love the way you continue to probe them, and then that little three-by-one look where you got two guys getting down the field, and then Drake finds that hole for you.
Yeah, he twice was able to kind of throttle in a soft spot and find a big completion, a good gain for us. I thought Ray Ray's third down conversion across the middle was a big catch, big play by him. He continues to show up for us in a big way to kind of keep us pretty versatile. And I thought AJ's interception, you know, was as key a play in the game as there was. And then I think the ability for our offense to, from that interception, to play complimentary football and go down and get seven was a major turning point in the game.
Yeah, I want to finish up with the final drive. You go 12 plays, 84 yards. I think you threw it twice. You ran it seven or nine times in the drive. It just was that man's kind of drive. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, at that point, we had run the football successfully throughout the game. Felt like we could continue to do it. And then I think Tyler Allgeier just really stepped up. Our offensive line stepped up. You know, threw it a couple times, but for the most part, we leaned on the run game, especially in the second half, and, you know, they delivered.
Arch, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
He said lack of explosives. I mean, I saw Kyle Pitts with an explosive play. I saw Drake London with an explosive catch. I saw Tyler Allgeier with an explosive run, and that's 20-plus.
The thing is, you've set such a high benchmark for what explosives you've been able to do. And you and I talked about it last week. I mentioned this on Friday. I mentioned it in the pregame. One in every four plays you've run have gone for 10 or more yards.
Yeah.
Well, so you've set a high mark for that in terms of this team.
And I guess it is what you qualify an explosive play. I'm 20 yards or more to me is an explosive. I think some people do see the 10 yard or more, and they think that has its own category for them. But if Kyle Pitts 70 yards plus for the second time in a row, this season, or second game in a row, and I think it's the first time he's done it since 2021. He's playing with a physical. He's playing much more physical at the point of attack with blocking and in the run game. I'm happy with that, and he is getting. He only had three catches, but for 70 yards, I don't need Kyle Pitts to have eight catches for 120 yards every week. I don't. I need this where he is good in run blocking and pass blocking when asked, and then runs the routes and runs good routes, and he gets there and he finds a soft spot and if they're playing the zone or something, catches the ball, turns it upfield, and turns a 30-yard gain into a 50-yard gain. That's what I need from Kyle Pitts. That's what he did yesterday.
Three catches is good enough for you, for Kyle Pitts? It is for me. Remember, we said this on Fair Foul on Friday. I was like, it's three catches. Like three catches per week, is that kind of the floor, if you will, for Kyle Pitts?
If I get three catches for 12 yards, I'm not, and there's no touchdowns in there, I'm going, you know, could have used a little bit more for him. But when I get three for 70, and he's the second leading receiver as far as yardage goes, yeah, I'm pretty good with it.
But didn't you just talk about him impacting the games in other ways too, or at least improving in that regard? So,
and that's part of it, Tiff. We got to the point 3 weeks ago where I was told by fans, but hold on, but it's important because
no, it's just the way you said it.
They have a say. Well, you're using him all wrong, and I said, well, how do you use him? Well, you know. You can't line him up on a cornerback. I go, okay, ding. You can't ask him to block, ding. Can't ask him to chip, ding, which is kind of blocking. I don't like him in the slot. And you only need to line him up on linebackers and safeties. And I thought to myself, I go, well, self, he really is a unicorn because you can only do one freaking thing with him. Put his hand in the dirt and only let him run a route if there's a safety or linebacker. Apparently,
I'll simplify it more than that. You have to hit him on the run.
Apparently that Zach Robinson needed to go to the middle of the field in pregame and tell the DC, hey, can you only put linebackers and safeties over on Kyle? Which is because that's apparently the only way our fan base thought he could win, which was dumb in its own right. He could. I just think that guys go, you know, they have bad weeks, and he has really turned it. He's been more physical. Whether that's leadership by Kirk or maybe Zach Robinson or whatever, I don't know. But the Kyle Pitts we've seen the last 2 weeks is the one that you'll win with in this offense.